Psalms chapter number 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. And Father, we pray that you'd bless now the word of God as it goes forth. In Christ's name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you. And you may be seated. We have a number of anniversary dates throughout the year here at Anchor. It's kind of confusing to some, but I came to Anchor first as an evangelist, and then I came as a member, and then I came as a staff member, and then I took the pastorate as interim, and then I took the pastorate as the full-time pastor. And so this morning marks the conclusion of 26 years and begins the 27th year in this pulpit. And it was on this date, 1984, the first Sunday in November, 1984, that I took the pulpit, rather unprepared because I had, it had been thrust on me the night before. And I preached out of Psalms, chapter number 23. And so through the years, not every year, but it's been one of those traditions that the first Sunday in November, I look oftentimes at Psalm 23. Now, I remember what I preached. I've got the outline that I preached, and I have re-preached that several times. But I dealt with some of that on the radio this week, I guess my mind was on that as an anniversary thought. But so this morning, I want to take it and go just a little slightly different direction. But I'm glad that the Lord is my shepherd. And may I say that I believed that 26 years ago. I believed that 26 years ago, and we were facing some very uncertain things 26 years ago. 26 years ago this morning, there was not even any assurity that there would be a church. Things were pretty bad shape, and they got worse in the weeks to follow. And when I thought it couldn't get any worse, it did. And it got so bad that it was just, we literally just hung on by faith and allowed the Lord to work and to work through. And it took a long time to work up out of that hole and to get us out of that place that we have been brought low in. But I'm glad that through it all, the Lord was our shepherd. And the Lord has continued to be the shepherd of Anchor Baptist Church. I mentioned this and I say this, and giving God all glory, and mine may be the first and the next, but there has never been a casket of a member rolled down the aisle of Anchor Baptist Church as of this date in 26 years. There's been one casket. It was here from another church for a family night. We have had people who were faithful here who have gone on to be with the Lord but have not had the funeral here. Body was never brought here. We've had two members that have died. One was a shut-in and was buried at the home church, home cemetery. The other was buried at the previous church where she was a member. So God has blessed us in the past 26 years. We've had a lot of near misses. We've followed the ambulance and the helicopter a bunch of times to the hospital. And it looked really bad. And it looked like we were getting ready to have our first. But God in mercy has seen us through the valley of the shadow of death. And I've often said the shadow of a gun can't shoot you, and the shadow of a dog can't bite you, and the shadow of death can't hurt you if you're a child of God. It's just the shadow. You say, "Preacher, it looks like death." No, it's not death. You see, because just about the time that death reaches its cold, clammy fingers up to claim the soul of that one, I'm glad the angels of heaven have set watch, and they're there to whisk that soul into the eternal bliss of Almighty God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." You ain't got to worry about that. I'm glad you ain't got to worry out the coldness of the grave. The saints are not there. I'm glad you don't have to worry about the loneliness of the funeral home. The saint of God's not there. I'm glad to report to you that, hey, if somebody tells you that I've died, don't you believe it? If my heart stops beating, I'll be more alive then than I am now. I'll be the most alive that I've ever been in all of my life. My troubles and trials will be over. And I will have arrived safely on yon shore. And you will too. And I don't know who's the next to go. I don't know who's the first to come down. Obviously, this is going to happen if the Lord doesn't come. But I will say this, as far as I'm concerned, I just assume the undertaker be my undertaker. Amen? Brother Seidler said he wanted to go by death. He said he wanted to experience all that. He said he wanted to be with the Lord who come back in the clouds with the saints. I'd as soon meet him. I said, if that's all right with you. I'd as soon be here and be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. I'd as soon not go through death. That's my goal. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in seeing the Lord face to face and be changed. And I'm interested in cheating old death out of that opportunity. But I want to say, regardless of how we go, regardless of what the tragedy may be that takes us from this life, it doesn't matter, as you see, because that thing's only going to last for a second or a few moments, or that suffering's going to last for a few days or a few weeks. But when this soul leaves this old body, if you're redeemed, my friend, heaven and a life has just begun. But for those that don't know Christ, your troubles have just started. Someone said to me the other day, they made the statement. They said, well, I don't think they were, don't know if they're saved or not. And then they went on to say, well, they're better off. I just held my tongue. I try to be real careful, sensitive around loved ones. I try to be careful in those situations. I've never been guilty of preaching somebody into heaven. I won't do it. I won't do it for my own family. I won't do it for anyone. I will not. I'll let their testimony stand, and whatever their testimony is, that's what we'll stand on. But I will not try to preach them into heaven. I'll say they're in the hands of a just God. But I'll tell you one thing. The worst day on earth is better than the best day in hell. You can count, you can put that down. But I'll reverse that and say that the best day on earth, the best day is worse than the worst day in heaven, because there ain't no worse days. There ain't no bad days. There ain't no cloudy days. There ain't no rainy days. Hallelujah. I'm glad to report to you that the Lord is my shepherd, and for that reason I shall not want. I've been dwelling on this thought, and I've been thinking along these lines, the Lord is. That's about as far as I can get. We got hung up the other night in the Revelation 19, that He's King of Kings, capital King, capital of, capital Kings, and He's and, capital and, Lord, capital Lord of, capital Lords. He's even capital and. I mean, whatever you put up, he's more than that. You add, He's and. He's more than you asked for, He's more than you expected, and He's more than you deserve. You can count on that. Well, I'm hung up this morning. I got hung up on and. Now I'm hung up on is. Is. May I say the Lord is. And as a matter of fact, the very phrase, the Lord, it brings forth the thought and the connotation and the idea of is. So we could say it this way. First of all, the Lord. Not one of many lords, not one of many ways. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I am a way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. And people say, well, hey, y'all are pretty narrow, and you're not diverse, and you're not broad. And I say, you're right. Because Jesus wasn't either. Jesus didn't say, me and Muhammad and Buddha, we're all ways. All of us are good ways to heaven. No, he didn't say that. Jesus said emphatically, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. And he went on to say this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, how are you going to argue with that? I got news for this crowd. There's a whole lot of religions that may be all right to live by, but they are going to be sadly disappointed when they close their eyes in death. Because there's only one, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. There's only one that's good to die by. And that is Him. The way, the truth, the life. I want you to understand it's not a broad word. But it's the opposite. It is a narrow word. It is a particular word. When it says the, it's pointing very narrowly out to. No, it didn't say they. It didn't say them. It said thee. And it points to a very particular truth. Can I say He is the Lord without exception and without comparison? He said there's no other gods. He's the God of gods. That ought to settle it. He's the King of kings. But He's not just the capital King of the lowercase kings. He is the capital King of the capital kings. And He's not just capital Lord of the lowercase lords, but He's capital Lord of the capital lords. And there ain't no capital lords. But if there was, He's still Lord over them. There ain't no other capital lords, and there ain't no other capital kings. But if there ever was any, He's still Lord over them. He's still King over them. That's right. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. The Lord is the Lord. The Lord. Now let's look at that word Lord. Lord. I've got to look at it. Maybe I don't keep dates good, but it's been a while. It seems like it. I've preached it every week. I'm always talking about the capital L-O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I don't know, that's a truth that broke over my soul years ago, and I've just enjoyed it so much that I mention it often. Maybe for those who don't know, in your King James Bible, you will find the Lord spelt three different ways. Now, when I say spelt, what I mean is it has the same four letters of the English alphabet. But it will be capitalized and it will be in lowercase in three separate orders, or three separate ways. In 1 Peter, chapter number 3, the Bible said that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. But it's spelt little L, little O, little R, little D. She called him Lord. In other words, that's a polite name. It's like saying sir, if you will. She called him Lord. But it was spelt with a little L. You come through your Bible and hundreds of times, and yeah, even probably thousands of times, you'll find the word Lord spelt with a capital L, with little O, little R, little D. And when you come across it that way, it has reference, my friend, to God. But it has reference to God in an aspect maybe that's slightly different. When you see the capital L with the little O-R-D, it is a word that talks about God in His sovereignty. It talks about God in His power. It talks about God in His majesty and God in His holiness. And all of those things are wonderful and glorious and great, and I thank God for them. But can I say to you that God with a capital L, with a little O and a little R and a little D, He is so majestic and He is so high and He is so holy and He is such an Adonijah, He is so far above man that He was unapproachable. That's capital L, little O, little R, little D. He was. He was unapproachable. None of us could get near Him. I mean, the closest man ever got was Moses, and he put his hand over in the cleft of the rock, and that's the closest you could get to him. No man has seen God at any time and lived. We couldn't stand it. We couldn't put up God so holy. We couldn't do that. He is sovereign. And the word Lord in that realm is used oftentimes. And there are those that even will cry and do cry. Matthew 7 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Capital L, little O-R-D. Capital L, little O-R-D. Speaking about the Lord and His sovereignty. The Lord and His sovereignty. Hey, you better know something about God more than sovereignty. You better know something about God more than majesty. You better know something about God more than holiness. Because His sovereignty, His majesty, and His holiness will ban you from His presence for eternity. And many will say in that day, Lord, Lord. And they go on to say some very disturbing things. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? There's preachers that's not saved. And they've preached about the capital L, little O-R-D, and yet they don't know him. Lord, Lord. And he said, in thy name cast out devils. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? I'm talking about, having the power, having that, being in that realm to cast out devils. If you'll check your Bible, the Bible says that all the disciples rejoiced because the demons fled from them. All the disciples, including Judas Iscariot. Are you listening? Judas Iscariot cast out devils, and yet he was the devil himself. The Bible says he was the son of perdition from the beginning. You read it and see. And so there are those who preach that are lost. There are those who perform miracles who are lost. And the Bible says that in thy name done many wonderful works. There's a bunch of folks that are running around in the name of the Lord doing many wonderful works, and they're just as lost as they can be because all they know him is his capital L, little O-R-D, the big man upstairs, or all the other names that they assign to him. Are you listening to me? It's the meanest thing I've ever seen. There's a crowd in America today. They say they believe in the good Lord. You don't believe it? Let a NASCAR driver get killed. Everybody believes in the good Lord, don't they? Believe in the good Lord. Oh, they may cuss and drink and carry on something fierce, but you let something go wrong and they all turn and believe in the good Lord. And all the country music songs believe in the good Lord. And the man upstairs and all that. But let me tell you, that's coming up short. The Bible says that, the devil believes there's a God in fear and trembling. Believing that there's a God alone won't make it because the devil believes that. But can I take this thing one level further? I'm not talking about a little L-O-R-D or a capital L, little O-R-D, but I'm talking about capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is how it should be spelt in your Bible. And if it's not, we have a whole bunch of King James Bibles that are out here today that have got word changes in them, and we're trying to identify them. See me after the service. If yours is not in all caps, I'd like to identify and know who published it. Because it should be. Because the translators of the King James Bible wanted you to know that the most holy and sacred name for God was the word Jehovah or the word Jah. And they took it and they capitalized it and they pronounced it and used it as the word Lord in all caps. When you see the word God in all caps or the word Lord in all caps, it stems from the root word that is the name, the covenant-keeping name of the God of Israel. Genesis 4 said that men began to call upon the name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now if you'll study the creation
Over and over it says, and the Lord God did this, and the Lord God did that. The capital L-O-R-D, capital G, little O-D, did this, this, and this. But you got to remember, that's Moses writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God after the fact. Moses is aware that it was Jehovah God, because he's made himself known to Moses by this time, and it was Jehovah God that created the earth. It was Jehovah God that formed the worlds. It was Jehovah God. It was the Lord God of heaven that did all of those things. And yet the Bible tells us that, well, let me give you an example. Psalm 68:4. Did you know that just the word Jah is used? And it's pronounced Jah in our King James Bible. Psalm 68:4. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. What does Jah mean, preacher? Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thought. It's the very same thing that God said to Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter number 6. Or excuse me, Exodus, chapter number 3. Moses said, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee. What is the word I am? What is that, preacher? Yah or Jah, we think that's how it's pronounced. It means to be, or the state of presence. God said, I am. Yah. You tell them, Yah, Yah, or Hey, Yah, Hey, Yah. You tell them, Hey, Yah sent you. And that means, I am that I am. You tell them that. Now, let me tell you what's so interesting in all of this. God says in Exodus 3 and reveals to Moses his personal name. He reveals to him his saving name for the children of Israel. He reveals to him that he is to be called the great I am, Jah. The Bible says in Exodus 6, God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord, the word Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God, that's the word El, and Almighty, and that's the word Shaddai. And he says, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now right there is your watermark. Exodus 6, God said, they knew me as God, and they knew me as Almighty God, but the patriarchs did not know me as Jehovah. But now that the children of Israel, I'm going to reveal to you my special name, and I got a special name, but I'm going to let you call me, and my name is I Am That I Am. But here's what's amazing. When you go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, here's Isaac and Abraham starting up the mountain. And Isaac looks over at Abraham and he says, Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Dad, I think we forgot something. Dad, we've done this before. I know how to do this. Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham says through a great word of prophecy, Abraham says, God, Elohim, will provide. The word Jireh. Elohim Jireh, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both of them went together. You know the story. He bound him apparently, placed him on the altar, was beginning, and as far as the scripture says elsewhere, that he had reckoned him dead, and as far as that, Abraham was concerned, he had said his goodbyes, and he's going to kill him, believing that God could raise up seed from ashes if necessary. And God said, hop, stop, whoa, stop. Don't touch him. I see you're going to obey me. And about that time, he heard a big bah. And he looked over behind him, and it's funny that he didn't see this thing before. But right over behind him in a thicket was a big old ram caught by the horns. You know why it was caught by the horns? Because if it had been caught anywhere else, it would have had a blemish on it. But there wasn't no blemish. I guarantee you it was a firstborn male. And it's caught by its horns. And Abraham goes over and looses it, brings it over, and he and Isaac together offer a sacrifice of that ram. Can you imagine Isaac looking into the eyes of that ram just as he slit its throat? Because that thing took his place. And the Bible says, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Now wait a minute. What did Abraham call it? Jehovah Jireh. When did God reveal His name Jehovah to the children of Israel? All the way back in Exodus. God said, I didn't reveal my name to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew me as El, as God, because that's what He called Him going up the mountain. He said, God, El, will provide Jireh. El Jireh, God will provide. Elohim Jireh, God will provide. But coming down the mountain, He said, Jehovah Jireh. Not even knowing what He's talking about. He didn't even know. According to Exodus, he couldn't have known. God said, I didn't reveal myself. But Abraham, hundreds of years beforehand, Abraham knew that he was Jehovah Jireh. Abraham knew that he was not just a God. He was not just the God. He was not just a polite name. He was not just a sir, or he was not even just sovereign. But hallelujah, he was Savior. He was the God who would provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. Can I say today, Jehovah means God is, God was, and God will be. Can I say hallelujah, the Lord is. And you mark this down. I'm tired of this crowd that goes around talking about the Lord was. I, for one, am tired of it. Thank God for Whitfield and Spurgeon and Moody and all the rest. Thank God for them. Thank God for the greats that I have known and have eaten at their table. Thank God for them. But they're not here. And we are. But if He's God at all, listen to me, if He's God at all, He's God of today, He's God of yesterday, and He'll be God of tomorrow. I rejoiced on Friday afternoon as we played the message, Can God? God can prepare a table in the wilderness. But I got to looking on the tape, that message was played in 1973. It's when Dr. Seiler preached that famous message. 1973. Are you listening to me? Some of you wasn't even born when he preached that. But listen to what I'm telling you. God has showed Himself to be the God I am, I was, and I will be ever since then. I'll be honest with you, when I file past the table there in the chapel of Tabernacle Baptist Church on the 27th day of October 1995, and as we walked in silent vigil, and as I walked by the casket of Dr. Seiler and looked in his face, something almost died within me. And it was as if all the blood just drained out of me. And the devil whispered in my ear and said, It's over. It's over. The independent Baptist movement, as we know, it's over. And I walked out of there as whipped as anybody you've ever known. But you know what? A year later, they called and said, Preacher, we're in trouble down here at Tabernacle. Could you come? And could you help us raise a little money? I said, I'll be right down. And 15 years later, I was still going down. And 15 years later, we're still seeing the touch of God. Still seeing the hand of God.
I mean, we're still seeing God's provision. Oh, bless the Lord. Do you understand that nothing here at Anchor had taken place? There was an abandoned building when Dr. Sattler preached, God can. So everything that he said was future tense. I want to say to you this morning, hey, I've had all the doom and gloom I want to hear. Now you mark that down. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And it ain't because of the political situation. It ain't because of the change in Washington, although I thank God for that. But let me tell you something. God's economy don't revolve around Wall Street. God's economy don't revolve around the dollar. God's bigger than that. I'm glad to report to you that I serve Jehovah, that I serve the Lord. And may I say today that the Lord is. He is, He was, He will be. And the best we can tell, that's what the word Jehovah means. Jah is an abbreviation for I am. Ho is an abbreviation for the thought that the past tense. Va is an abbreviation for a word that is future tense. So the very word Lord, the very word Jehovah with three syllables, it is a testimony that God is, that God was, and that God will be. And I refuse to serve a God that was. Because if he was, and he's not now, he wasn't God. How would you like to bow before a grave with a body in it? How would you like to bow before some idol and say it was? How many churches are turning into museums based on what used to be and what used to happen? I'm sick of that. Trash that. And young people, I talk about our heritage here and I talk about what God used to do all the time. Not because we're living in the past, but to try to tell you, hey, the same God that did those things then is capable of meeting our needs today and tomorrow and until He comes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.